Are you ready? Are you ready to take massive action towards building a life and lifestyle that rewards you with a fit body, endless supplies of mental and physical energy, and total freedom from guilt around food and exercise? This is Cut the Fat Podcast. Everybody, it's Dr. Ray Heidestrom here with Blythe Wagner. Hey, Blythe, what's going down on your side of the world?
Hey, Ray. Lots and a whole lot of just routine happening here. How about you?
Same old, same old.
Okay, that's a good thing. No news is good news, right?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. We do have some new news for our listeners, though.
Oh, what is it?
We are talking today about gaming the gamed system. So as it pertains to weight loss, of course, body fat loss, we've got some fun points to share with our listeners. And I think it's going to be another great podcast full of golden nuggets.
Right. And, you know, because we're podcasting on a much more regular basis, you've got to really perceive these podcasts as opportunities to mine for that gold, right? And only the gold that really, really, really resonates with you. So over the, you know, this next coming year, 2 years, 10 years, our goal is to really send you lots of opportunity to upgrade your program, upgrade your lifestyle. And so what that means is that you guys are going to have a lot of kind of tactics and strategies and tips and hacks coming your way. Don't try to adopt them all. It's so important that we not try to do that. Look for one golden nugget per podcast episode that you can incorporate and try it on, experiment with it, right?
Absolutely. And an easy way to find those golden nuggets is if you go to cutthefatpodcast.com, we have begun a fan club area. And what you can do is kind of look at the cliff notes from the podcast. So listen to the whole podcast, maybe listen a second time, because sometimes, you know, I know for me, I pick up stuff the second or third time listening to things because we've got so many points we're going to be going over today. But the fan club is a shortcut to kind of go back and review.
Right. It's free. You go in, you put in your email address, it'll send you out a username and password. And then you'll have access to the back end. And in the back end, you'll have the cliff notes for these shows that we do that will give you anywhere between 20 and 30 kind of golden nugget points, our top points in each podcast that you can then just kind of go through and say, okay, I like this one. I like this one. It'll just remind you of the stuff that we talk about in the podcast episodes.
Yeah, excellent.
All right, cool. So today's podcast is Gaming the Gamed System, and we'll get to what that means here in just a minute. But let's start with just recognizing the fact that new research suggests that about 40% of your weight is attributed to your genetics.
That's a large number.
It is. It's much larger than people believe. They think it's mostly, and I guess it's still technically mostly lifestyle, but to say that 40% of your weight is determined by your genetics is it's a pretty big number, like you said.
Yeah, absolutely. So overweight people have more genes that lead to fat storage and fewer genes that protect them from fat storage. And thin people are the opposite. They've got the fewer fat genes, but the more protective, quote unquote, thin genes.
Right. And so not rocket science, right? We all have skinny friends who seem to be able to eat everything in sight and not gain any weight. And we all have people, and probably some of us are these people, where we just inhale the aroma of an apple pie and we gain 15 pounds, right?
Like, yeah, you can feel the hormones trigger when you sniff that apple pie or the donut shop. Yes.
And so it's not rocket science that some of this is genetics. And, you know, a lot of this data, you know, or at least they really started to see this when they started to study twins and twins that were that grew up in the same environment versus opposite environments and or different environments. And what they discovered was pretty clear that the environment really, you know, when you're talking about genetic identical genetics, that if these people were separated at birth, these twins were separated at birth, and then they come together again, that their body types are actually very, very similar, even if they grew up in families where one family had overweight parents and the other one did not, those twins would basically be about the same weight and body frame.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's what's scary about all this, right? Because a lot of people are probably listening to this thinking, well, does that mean that I'm doomed? If my father was overweight, my mother was overweight, I've been overweight most of my life, does that mean that I am going to be overweight for the rest of my life? And the answer is, it's 40%, folks. It's not 100%. 60% right. is under our control, and significantly so. And how do we know that that's generally not the that our genetics are not our future? Is the way that we view genetics is that they offer multiple pathways, and very few genetics are set in hard stone. What genes do is they offer us many different paths. What determines how your body expresses those genetics is the experience that those genes are bathed in, and you know, to some extent, you've just got to come to grips with the fact that not everybody is going to be able to have ripped abs. But that being said, you also don't have to be morbidly obese. That you can have, you can, there's a lot of room for kind of molding the type of outward benefits that we get and see with our body, right?
So the question isn't really, am I genetically programmed to store fat? The question should be, how do I make use of the knowledge to game the system, right?
Yes. So, you know, weight loss is really about gaming the gamed system. We talked about that in the beginning of the show. That's what we're kind of titling this show right now. Our default state is lean and healthy. Think of it like that. Something we do as a culture ultimately stands in the way of that and sends that 40% that we do not have control over, as far as that 40% that works against us perhaps, into overdrive. And then that's what presents itself within our life. When we're trying to lose weight, we are essentially trying to get back to our default state. It, you know, in coaching, you know, when we talk about coaching, how it compares to things like therapy, the idea is that with therapy, that there is something that is broken in you and that we need to figure out how to fix that something. In coaching, the idea is that the default state of the human mind is positive. The default state of the human mind is to be emotionally stable, to be mentally stable and strong. And that if, in fact, that's not the case, then there's something that we're doing or being exposed to that kind of makes that works against that. And so we focus a lot in the coaching realm on how do we return to our natural state of stability, balance, and abundance. And so the same thing kind of holds true here when we're talking about gaming the game system. If we go into it with the mentality that, you know what, my metabolism's natural state is to be lean and healthy, what am I doing in my life that is ultimately working against that? And when we say we're trying to game the game system, the reason we say that is because the refined food industry is gaming our metabolism in the opposite direction. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, so what initially popped in my head when you said that is returning to our default state. And if you think of yourself as a child, you know, you didn't think about these things. And odds are, you know, you were probably more active. You ate whatever your parents gave you, but you weren't mentally always searching for a new path. So we kind of have to rewind. It's almost like shoveling snow. I was shoveling snow yesterday. We had like 12 inches of snow. And I went outside at 7 o'clock in the morning and I shoveled the 6 inches that was there. And by the time I got back to my house after dropping kids off at school 45 minutes later, there was another 2 inches on the ground. So it's kind of like going back and re-clearing that path, getting rid of all the cobwebs, getting rid of all the snow that has covered up that default path. And I want to speak a little more, a little later in the podcast, about children, because this is an important thing, especially when it comes to genetics and making sure you set them up on the right path so they don't have to go and refine their path later in life. But that will come up later in the podcast. Okay. You know, I'd like to say anyone who is looking, generally speaking to my clients, anyone who's looking to lose body fat, I like to help them reset by thinking about, it's not about burning the current fat you have. It's about starting where you are and storing less fat from here on out. And that's why it's a slow process. You kind of have to change your perspective of how you are approaching weight loss, at least mentally, so we can start carving away at that old path. We're not reinventing the wheel here. You know, there's not a lot of new stuff that we know about diets and weight loss. There's actually an article in the New York Times called What We Know About Diet and Weight Loss. The author there concedes that we don't know a whole lot. We know that everybody's different. We know that the weight epidemic coincides with an increase in carb intakes and refined foods, which are completely surrounding us. We know pretty much every diet out there is old news. It's just reworded or, you know, rewritten. Nobody's reinvented the wheel here. We know that we really have difficulty studying diets in such a way where we can get actionable information that applies to the general population. So recarving what you know from being a kid, revisiting from the days you were most active or the days that you were in the best shape of your life, because that is still available to you. It's just remembering how to get there.
Yeah, and what kind of advice would you give somebody, though, who says, I've never been, quote-unquote, there? Like, I've never been fit. I've never been lean. What
would you say? It depends. If they have children, I would say, well, how would you think about feeding your child? How would you look out for your child to make sure they grow up healthy and fit? And then apply that to yourself. And if they don't have children, I would say, you know what? Let's rewind. What types of foods are you eating? What do you do on a daily basis for activity? What do you know so far about weight loss? And then we'll have to build from there. Because for somebody who's never been there, that doesn't mean you can't get there or move that direction. It just means that you might not remember what to do because, well, you've never been there. So we can train your brain on how to start accessing some of the body fat that you've been collecting. And not focus so much on burning it away, because I think that's where like all the diet pills and all the diets and all these fast fixes come in under that whole idea.
Right, and that analogy, you know, to the child, you know, what would you tell a child? It reminds me of a question called the miracle question, which is if you went to sleep tonight and a magic fairy came down from the heavens and waved their magic wand and poof, you woke up the next morning and you were in your ideal body. You were lean, you were fit, you were healthy. What would you do to maintain that level of health, fitness, and you know, physical confidence, if you will? And so that's the question that you might need to be asking yourself. So, you know, and by the way, that article from the New York Times was quite depressing in a sense because it really was like, you know, what do we know about diet and weight loss? And the final answer was we don't know much. And even if we find a diet that leads to substantial weight loss, and they talked about this in the article, we would need to basically separately research a diet that is sustainable for a lifetime because they're not necessarily the same thing. Like a diet that leads to weight loss does not necessarily have all of the components within it that you need in order to maintain that weight loss for
a lifetime. And I'll tell you, to this day, 43 years of age, I have not seen a diet, like a printed out, written up, whatever diet that you can find online or from your neighbor or your best friend or whatever. There's no diet that will be sustainable for a lifetime unless you compose that diet.
And you continue to compose and recompose and reimagine that diet as life changes and shifts. you know, at, you know, if you're 30 now, when you hit 50, it's right. going to change. You're going to have to make some alterations to keep it.
Absolutely. And that's a great cool. point. Yeah. So the second bottom line for this is eat fewer carbs. And I don't mean less fruits and vegetables. I'm talking about refined carbs. Eat more.
Unrefined.
Eat more unrefined foods. But eat fewer carbs.
Yeah.
Move more, sleep right. more, stress less. How are we going to do this?
But how?
Yeah.
How do we make it happen? Well, let's give you 8 steps that we kind of came up with. Again, these are those golden nuggets that you have to cherry pick to fit, you know, to say, okay, this is the one I'm gonna try to implement right away, or this is the 1, 2, or 3 strategies or tactics that I'm going to pull. Right. So let's start with number one. Number one is start with your damn why. When we lose sight of why, we're basically putting ourselves through the difficult journey of losing weight. We tend to retreat back to our old habitual patterns. Let me say that again. So when we lose sight of that why, and we are putting ourselves through the pain, and oftentimes mm-hmm. it is pain when we're really starting on this weight loss journey. When we start to really, really feel the pain of shifting our lifestyle in a way that promotes health and wellness, our tendency will be to go back to our old habitual patterns unless we have something that keeps us on the tracks, right?
And, you know, it's because the reason that we go back to those old habits is because we are now outside our comfort zone. And it's uncomfortable for everybody. But, you know, one of my favorite memes out there, and I know I've posted it on our Cut the Fat podcast Facebook page before, it shows a big circle on a chalkboard, a big white circle, and it's labeled your comfort zone. And then way out in the distance is this tiny little dot with an arrow that says where the magic happens. The magic happens outside of that comfort zone. If you continue what you're doing and it's not serving you well, you must change what you're doing. So having that why is that has got to be something that you can continue to revisit. Why am I doing this? When you're totally down off the tracks and you are just not making any progress, you have got to be able to revisit why you're doing this.
Right. And a friend of mine, you know, Jade Tita says, you know, if you're constantly struggling with motivation, then really you're not struggling with motivation, you're struggling with a reason. And a really solid reason that you really feel connected to. Because if you're thinking, oh, I'm doing this because if I don't, I'm going to die, and that's not something that you really truly and honestly believe, that this is going to really take your life significantly sooner, then maybe you've got to look for other reasons. Perhaps it's that reflection in the mirror. Perhaps it's the level of confidence. Mm. Perhaps it's finding a mate. But whatever it is, you've got to really tap into what motivates you, what drives you, and don't try to adopt somebody else's reason for wanting to do that. There are a lot of people out there who, you know, they say, well, you know, the reason I want to lose weight and really get fit and healthy is because I want to dance at my daughter's wedding. And, you know, perhaps their family member, their father or their mother did mm-hmm. not make it to that point, you know, and they want that more than anything else. Well, that works for them. May not work
right.
for you.
Right.
You know, it may... You know, you may not have any kids right now, and maybe you plan on having them in the future, but right now you can't really connect to that. So you've got to find the reason for you, and don't try to adopt somebody
Good
else's
point.
Reason.
So step 2, accept that you pay the price now, or you pay a bigger price later. So when you pay for something like on a credit card, do you pay more or less for that item in the long term? More, because we all know credit cards accrue interest and things like that, right? So choosing unhealthy behaviors now is paying for happiness on credit.
Right. And I love this one. I love this one because you're going to pay a price whether you like it or not. The difference is not, you know, paying the price or not paying the price. The difference is paying it now or paying a much, much bigger price later down the line. And that usually is in the form of your health, your energy, your ability to do things that you want to do, your autonomy. You know, as you get older and as you abuse yourself now, your tendency is going to be to degenerate over time. I see it all the time in my health practice here. And you've got to really connect this in your brain, that you're paying the price for happiness now, or you're paying the price for happiness later. And that price later is going to be so ridiculously much more than what it is right now. Even though it doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, that statement, I think, will help people kind of delve into their psyche, and maybe it'll help you figure out that damn why.
Yes.
Step number three, realign with some powerful why questions.
I guess this one should have been number two, but
they kind of all blend in.
Ended up number three.
Yeah,
they do. Yeah. So here are some good why questions for you guys to think about. And I'm gonna have a moment of pause for effect as I say them. So first one is, and feel free to pause the podcast after each one and kind of just answer them out loud if you're in the car or on a walk or what have you. So here's number one. What would my life look like if I incorporated healthy eating into my life for the next 30 days? Okay, so think of it like this. Think of it like, man, if I just lived a pristine lifestyle for the next 30 days. Don't think about how difficult it would be. Think about what the result would be at the end of 30 days. How would you feel? How would you look? How motivated would you be? You know, what would you be thinking? Think of it like that.
Okay.
That is a pause. And number two, how will my life change in other ways if I started living for performance and health rather than instant gratification? So take it beyond just how you look and feel yourself. Think about how your life would change in other ways. Would you do better work in your career? Would you have more mental focus and energy with your family and friends? Would you experience more things, you know?
Well, what
maybe
I think what happens, and if somebody is just now starting their weight loss journey for the first time, they might not know this. But once you start making changes like that, it has this positive domino effect on the rest of your life. And it's absolutely amazing, but you have to try it to see.
And that brings me to number three, which is how would the lives of my family and my friends change if I showed up each day healthier, more energetic, and as a great example of healthy living? You know, if you've got kids, what would your kids see? How would that impact them in the long term? How about your hormonal balance? Do you think that you'd feel differently if the hormones are out of whack? You better believe it. If your body is in better balance, the hormones have a tendency to be in better balance, and that does positively impact the people in your life. You know, would your coworkers and your friends start to see this shift in you and then start to make the shift themselves because they crave what you have? So think like that.
Yeah.
Cool.
I was doing a pause.
Okay. A pause. Four, what will happen if I change nothing? 5 years from now, 10 years from now, what will my life look like? And that's such a powerful question too, because you can't just focus on what you're moving towards. You get double points for focusing what you're moving away from as well. Because 5 years from now, you're going to, the choices that you make today are going to have an impact on how you feel and how you show up. 10 years from now, you better darn well believe that the decisions you've made over the previous 10 years are going to have a dramatic impact on how you feel then and how you feel later. It is much easier to slow the aging process down through making healthy lifestyle choices than it is to reverse the aging process, the premature aging process that occurs from a life of, you know, of not being healthy and fit.
Absolutely.
Right? Dramatic pause and
okay.
On to the next.
So step four, learn what you need to learn to increase your confidence, because confidence plays a very large role in weight loss. If you don't know how to make an omelet, YouTube it, or I'll be doing an online video very soon on how to make the perfect omelet. I've been working on this, but I myself need to first make a perfect omelet, because they're never perfect, but I can make a damn good omelet. I'll tell you that. So whether it's perfect or not, I am going to do a video for our listeners, anyone who is interested in that. It'll be on the Cut the Fat podcast page. If you don't know how to build a solid workout plan, buy a book. get a personal trainer. There are so many resources out there that will help you build your confidence that they're just there for the taking, you know, but you have to take the step to take them. So when you feel you lack skills, you're going to lack confidence. So let's build up those skills.
And confidence, or lack of confidence, is one of the number one reasons why people get derailed, why people give up on their workout plan. And, you know, you see it. I used to, when I was working out and, you know, on a treadmill for extended periods of times in gyms, I'd watch people who were new come in, and you would see them like a blankness where they just didn't know where to go or what to do. And they would kind of feebly sit down at a bench and start pushing some weights up in an awkward fashion. You could just feel them looking around to see if other people are watching them, to see if other people are mocking them or you know, what people are thinking. And the reality is people aren't thinking about you. You know, they may notice you when you walk in, but that's about the extent of it. They go back to thinking about their own stuff, their own crap that they've got going on in their lives. So that's number one. But if you walk in, imagine that if that feels like you, or you resonate with that, imagine being able to walk into a gym and just know exactly what to do and how to do it. And just picture that in your mind. You just walk in like you own the joint. You go right to where you want to go. You start lifting weights with perfect form. You run through your workout and you leave.
Yeah,
right? Imagine how that would feel.
Super confident. And, you know, sometimes you can fake it till you make it there. I'm just saying, you know, hop on the treadmill for 5 minutes, look around at some of the weights, decide what you're going to do, go in with the plan and do it. Own your workout.
Yes, own it. And then let's go to number five, which I'll go ahead and speak it because I wrote it. And that is, ask, what would Blythe do? Next time you're preparing to give in to temptation, like let's say you're just staring at a piece of office birthday cake and you really don't want to eat it, right? And, you know, your lifestyle hasn't been really great. And, you know, if you're super fit, you're super healthy, you've been really solid, you could probably eat that cake and it would be an insignificant blip on your fitness screen. But let's say that that's not you. Let's say that you have been shady with your diet and your lifestyle and your workout and you really don't want to eat that cake. Ask, if Blythe Wagner were here staring at me as I make this decision, what would she tell me to do? It's an interesting kind of exercise. Yeah. It's kind of an NLP thing where you're actually, you know, you're coaching yourself by pretending that there's a coach there and asking and imagining what they would say.
It's one of the reasons why the level of accountability in our challenge group and with my one-on-one clients is so hearty, because if I'm asking you to log your food and you know that you're going to have to write one large piece of birthday cake at the office party today, and you know that I'm going to be looking at that 3 hours from when you log that, it's going to make you second guess. Do I really want to do this? And you know it, I know it. There's peer pressure when it comes to making healthier choices. For whatever reason, society likes to be like, oh, come on, one piece of birthday cake won't hurt you. They don't say, oh, come on, you don't really want a piece of that cake, do you? Like, it's funny how that works. But yeah, imagine yourself with that, you know, birthday cake over your shoulder. What would I do if Blythe were here?
That brings up an interesting idea, you know, just thinking out loud here. What do you think about hopping into the weight loss challenge group after we get done here and pop quizzing some of the folks, being like, hey, just doing a pop quiz. Tell me what you ate.
Yes, I'm doing it.
That's totally good stuff. That's good stuff. Just pick like three to five lucky people and just be like, pop quiz. What did you eat today?
I'm doing it. As soon as we're done here, I'm doing it. That's an amazing idea. Love it.
All right. Cool. Let's go on to number six, which is learn to get comfortable with discomfort. You love this one, so I'll let you talk
about this. The magic happens outside your comfort zone idea. Start small, baby things, work up to bigger things. We always try to bite off more than we can chew because we want instant gratification. But what's going to stick with you and what's going to be doable day in and day out are those baby things. And then you work up to bigger things as those baby things become easier. One reason why we believe that exercise is a keystone habit, because it helps you get more and more comfortable with discomfort. It definitely, you know, zombie walking is something that we talk about a lot. Just getting up, putting your shoes on, don't even give yourself a moment to start talking yourself out of why you shouldn't go for a 10-minute walk or a 30-minute walk. You know, you're slowly becoming comfortable with that level of discomfort. And
yeah, and what I love about the zombie walk technique, where you just kind of empty your mind, just do it, is you're not trying to talk yourself into it either. You're not trying to talk yourself out of it or into it. You're just removing that that opportunity to start thinking about the discomfort that's going to come down the line. You just
It's kind of like driving to work every morning. We just do it. I mean, it becomes so habitual. You get in the car or walk to work, whatever you do. You get in the car, you get on your bike, and you just go to work. You don't have to think about navigating how to get there because you've been there a million times. You know, there's no reasoning on either end of that. You're just doing it. So it's kind of the same idea.
Perfect. Number seven, name your resistance. Now, we oftentimes, we like to help clients to name their resistance sometime. You know, you hear some people in the challenge, they'll say, there goes Felicia again, trying to sabotage me. Bye-bye, Felicia. Go to the basement. So it's like you're sending that resistance away. Now, here's the thing. Resistance is always with you. And it always kind of peers through when you don't want it to. You have to come to grips with the fact that it's just part of you. You don't want to try to kick it out. You just want to come to grips with the fact that you have the power to control it. And when it shows up, you just name it. You say, Felicia, what you doing? What you doing to me?
It could be negative self-talk. It could be the whole reasoning with yourself, like, oh, it's cold outside, I don't want to go for a walk. Or, oh, I left my shoes at home, I guess I can't go to the gym today. Hey, that doesn't mean you can't drop down and give me 20 when you get home. You know, you can do push-ups, you can do sit-ups, you can do walking lunges. You can walk circles around your living room. There is something that you can do. So try naming, instead of just naming the resistance part of us, how about naming the new fit you?
Yeah, you know, give yourself a name, like something hard, you know, like, you know, it could be like Natalia.
Yeah, there you go.
Or something like a good, strong Superman, Superwoman name that you can use to what it does is it really says, am I living with this new standard? Like, this new name gives you a new standard. And you start to think, well, you know, is this how Natalia would live, you know? And so naming the new you may be a tool that works for you. If this sounds like it's crazy talk, throw it out. But it's something that some people have found to be very, very helpful. In fact, there's a new book that's coming out by a guy named Todd Herman, who it's all about how some of the most successful people on earth actually have developed an alter ego that they use to help, you know, keep them accountable. It's kind of cool.
Like being an actor or an actress, and you have to get into the part. You know, you have to research the part, think about what you want for that part, and then act on it. So if that's how you have to view it to get started and move through this, hey, that might work for you.
And then step nine.
Don't go it alone. Find a swim buddy. Build your fire team. Find a workout partner. Hop on the phone with your mom if that's what gets you through a walk. I know this is part of my private life, but I don't mind cleaning, but I'd rather clean mindlessly. So I usually call my best friend on the phone, and that I multitask. So I'm not focusing on, oh man, I've got another bedroom to vacuum or another toilet to scrub. You know, I think, you know what, I'm going to call my friend, and I end up kind of just moving through it. So it's zombie cleaning, I guess, on my part.
Yeah. And, you know, those terms, swim buddy and fire team, are terms from the Navy SEALs. You know, they, you know, every Navy SEAL has a swim buddy. Every Navy SEAL works within a fire team. And the reason is because you can do more when you have other people on board who are, you know, offer more resources. And this is something that's pretty interesting that you start to know, is when you start to get people on board with the mission, right? The mission, the goal, the vision for what you want for yourself in the you know, for right now we're talking about health and wellness. Resources start to show up. People don't want to work against you. They want to help you to achieve the things that you want to achieve, at least the people who matter in life. So don't be afraid to get other people involved in your vision, in your mission to get healthy.
Right. The more people you hang out with who are aligned with the same type of want for a lifestyle or journey, the more resources you discover and the more backup and support you have. And this is so important, especially when it comes to building the confidence. You know, having a buddy there with you just makes it just a tad bit easier.
Awesome. And that's all I got. I almost feel like that's 9 points. I almost feel like we should throw one in to keep making it even 10. But if you don't have anything, I guess we can end the show.
Well, I do. I have a couple of tips. So this is the final one. I have a couple of tips for building a schedule, I guess, for lack of a better word, building a schedule for your new lifestyle. So Natalia is going to make a schedule for your day. You know, you don't have to write every single little thing down that you're going to do, but maybe just some bullet points of things that you need to achieve for the day, and decide or determine which things are fixed and which are flexible. Be honest with yourself. So an example of something fixed on your schedule that cannot change for the day. It might be meetings, your work hours. Maybe you've got children's activities or something that need to happen that day. And then you need to find some flexible things like household chores. I mean, if you're someone at home with a newborn, you know, you wait till the baby goes, take a nap, and then you clean the house. Well, that's something that's flexible because the mess isn't going to go away. I'll tell you that. Our inbox is always going to be full. But finding those flexible things, household chores, running errands, some appointments might be flexible, entertainment time, downtime that you have, those types of things are flexible times. And this will help you build your schedule. So you want to be realistic with the times because, you know, you can say, I'm going to go for a 30-minute walk. Well, you might want to schedule 40 minutes for that because it takes a couple minutes to put on your shoes. You know, we want to plan this to prevent rushing. So people who have difficulty with having enough time in the day, I suggest building a schedule. Just like eating healthy supports wellness and fitness, a schedule helps with time management. And we talked about confidence. It also supports confidence and ease. So being able to come up with a schedule that is going to work for your lifestyle. You know, writing it down and visualizing it sometimes really helps you be able to delegate some tasks, maybe organize some tasks. I know yesterday I had to return some stuff on Amazon, and I had to go to UPS and the post office. They're on opposite sides of town. I wrote down that I had to do both of those things, but I didn't do them at the same time just because it was the same type of task. I waited until 4 p.m. when I went to the grocery store to pick up stuff for dinner and then went to the UPS store because it was nearby. So kind of visualizing that will help you save a little bit of time. And we all know that we could use every minute of the day, right? And if you're a morning person, schedule more things for the morning. If you're an evening person, schedule things that you can do in the evening where you've got a little more energy and time. Learn to delegate. You know, if your husband is going to the grocery store, give him that package to take to the UPS store because he's going to be that direction. So just a little bit of forethought and planning can really, really help us move through the days as we start to develop new habits and work on this journey of health and fitness.
Yep. We have a tendency to do what we schedule and put off what we don't, right? And you know, Brian Ward, he has a pretty interesting, you know, idea about to-do lists as well. If you don't necessarily work hard off of a schedule, then and you work more off of a to-do list, the one rule that he has about his to-do list is he does not go to bed until, you know, every one of the 5 most important things that he puts on that to-do list are done. So, you know, he it's basically he doesn't let himself off the hook. You know, if he says he's going to do these 5 things today, he doesn't go to bed until those five things are marked off the list. And it's a pretty, you know, interesting thing, because a lot of us, we make to-do lists, and then we that to-do list has very little power over us, because we know that if we get two done, we're just going to throw it in the trash and then start again tomorrow. And when he puts it on his list, it becomes a hard, fast rule that will get done for that day.
So that's cool. And, you know, when you complete a to-do list, I know for me anyway, and I think I can speak for most of us, you feel very productive. You feel like you got a lot accomplished. You feel you can rest easier because you've completed all of the things that you said you were going to complete for that day. It gives you less to think about. 3 o'clock in the morning, if you wake up because you heard a noise and you're like, oh man, I still have that left over from yesterday, it can get rid of some of that anxiety and maybe even help you rest better.
Yes, excellent. All right, guys. Well, I think that does it for today's show. Final points?
Look for my omelet video. It will be coming soon. And don't forget to find us on Cut the Fat Podcast Facebook page. It's just Cut the Fat Podcast. If you guys haven't yet found us, we've got recipes, tips. Our fan club is at cutthefatpodcast.com. It's free. It's got all the golden nuggets from today's podcast and a few past podcasts.
If you're new to the show, you know, be sure to rate us on iTunes. Let us know what you think. If it's great, put it on there. If it's not so great, send it to Blythe at cutthefatpodcast.com.
Yeah, and if you guys have anything you want to hear about, any topics you would like us to cover that we can discuss and turn into a podcast, feel free to send those ideas to us as well.
Awesome. And Facebook, just search for Cut the Fat Podcast, and you'll pull it up there. Like the page, follow the page, turn on notifications, and we'll see you there. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Bye.